Mummenken, Case 10. A monk, Sezai by name, said to Sozan, "I am a poor, destitute monk. I beg you to bestow on me the alms of salvation." Sozan said, "Akarya, Seize." "Yes, sir," replied Seize. Sozan said, "Someone has drunk three bowls of the wine of Haku of Seigen, but asserts that he has not yet moistened his lips." Recently, I went for a walk with a close friend in a nearby town. It was a delightful day, and the town was one of those places where there's an abundance of antique stores, craft shops, bookstores, and the like. As we walked along, I spotted a sign in a window that said Zen and Tai Chi. Curious as to what the Zen reference involved, we entered the establishment. Immediately, we were assailed by the distinctive odor of New Age, that sweet smell of candle perfume combined with cheap saccharine Indian incense. The ubiquitous CD was playing in the background, permeating the store with a soothing, rather mysterious ambient music, very spacey. The store was filled with books, posters, crystals, and assorted materials. We spent some time looking at the books, a large assortment of topics ranging from angels to Zen. The selection of Buddhist books was fairly decent. Copy of Chogyam Trungpa's Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism was prominently displayed, and I couldn't help but flash on the sly little smile that would have crossed Rinpoche's face had he been there to see his book displayed in such an establishment. Leafing through the books and looking at the titles, I was struck by the heavy emphasis on the notion that the vast majority of them were offering people something other than reality. The theme of altered, higher, better states of consciousness occurred repeatedly. I was surprised at the number of books dedicated to angels. The recurrent thread throughout was that of personal entitlement, getting something, reaching or attaining something. All of it seemed demanding in a way, a tacit acknowledgement that there was something missing that an individual could find and possess by reading the book. I could not help noticing some of the customers browsing the titles. Most appeared to be dissatisfied people, desperately seeking some sort of answers. There was a bulletin board covered with advertisements for dozens of healers, body workers, various schools of mystical arts. This was very much what Trungpa Rinpoche used to refer to as the spiritual supermarket, a plethora of offerings appealing to our sense of spiritual poverty, offering relief in the form of spiritual commodities. Higher states of consciousness, travel to higher realms, secrets of the universe. all of it appealing to the underlying notion of separateness and disconnectedness that is all pervasive in the human condition. The overriding theme in this spiritual supermarket was that there is something missing which could be provided by the products being sold. Nowhere was the notion evident that perhaps the real problem was that we had too much to begin with, and then what we really needed was to let go. Everywhere the message was self-centered. Me, me, mine, achievement, gain, and ego reinforcement seemed all pervasive. I could not help but wonder how many people had come into such places in search of peace of mind. Someone discovered an offered technique which seemed appealing, purchasing the available books, tapes, and materials, and taking them all home to begin their new life of spirituality. They would find out in a short time after the fascination wore off that they were still deeply dissatisfied. One could imagine people going back to the supermarket, getting all the stuff for a different modality. They seem to like that word, modality, and starting the process again. I would imagine that this could become an endless occupation, jumping from cosmic consciousness to crystal healing, to channeling, to pyramidology, to energy vibrations, to out-of-body experiences, to deja vu, to ESP, to Atlantis, to reincarnation, and to endless other ologies and isms. Truly a never-ending story. Always searching, trying to find something, anything, to fill the perceived need that something is missing. The theme of selfishness appears to exist throughout the New Age trip. It is on the whole supported by middle-class white people who are dissatisfied with their lives and uncomfortable in their relationships and surroundings. Invariably, it is a money-making scene. The books, crystals, bells, incense, oils, aromas, tapes, and CDs all sell like hotcakes. I could find no information in the store that had any reference to the sign in the window advertising Zen. The clerk did not offer an explanation. There seemed to be no reason for the sign other than the novelty of the word Zen. This is a common occurrence in materialistic America. Over the years, I've seen numerous advertising campaigns offering Zen this and Zen that. Books have been written with the word Zen in the title that have nothing to do with Zen at all. Zen is a pop word that sells. From this perspective, there is no relationship between Zen and New Age. In fact, they are diametrically opposed. Zen does not cater to selfish notions of self-improvement or egoistic, narcissistic spiritual entertainment. If anything, Zen is about destroying utterly such preconceptions. There's nothing new about Zen. It's been around for 2,500 years. Whatever preconceived ideas may be proffered by so-called New Age gurus, they have nothing to do with formal traditional Zen practice. New Age notions of love and light, peace and harmony, and we are all one are in no way aspects of Zen training. Think otherwise is childlike and ignorant. Zen is far more realistic and sophisticated than that, more down to earth and ordinary. To lump Zen in with the myriad of New Age endeavors is completely erroneous. Zen is a method for becoming sane, not a self-indulgent hobby for bored, rich white people. The New Age movement, if indeed it can be referred to as a movement, appears to be a desperate effort of people attempting to find the spirituality that is totally lacking in the dominant culture. Dominant here means more than mainstream, for domination is an integral element of the pervasive materialistic and conquest-based culture of the West. The power over dynamic and materialistic nature of Western culture is a product of conquest and subjugation that grew out of European feudalism, patriarchism, theocratic dictatorship, and opportunistic desire to wield power over other beings. The entire history of what we are taught is civilization is a short story of conquest written by the conquerors with their purpose in mind. This element of conquest is the backbone of materialism and the materialistic psychology that enables people to visualize their entire world as objects that can be manipulated for selfish gain. This manipulation includes people. Materialism and the principle of conquest are driving forces in the efforts of groups to control the lives of others. Efforts to legislate morality, attempts to mold society to arbitrary standards developed by religious groups based on belief systems, all rely on the conquest principle, the subjugation of others. What is perhaps not so apparent is the degree to which this paradigm permeates our personal lives on a day-to-day basis. The conquest paradigm has disconsciously been incorporated into our psychology in ways that are far from apparent. The conquest paradigm, by its nature, is diametrically in opposition to spirituality, and when practiced, leaves no room for the freedom of spirituality, no room to breathe. The root of spirituality is the word spiritus, the Latin for breath, the essence of life itself. In our Western society, materialism has become so encompassing that we have no clue as to any alternatives. Since our foundation, our psychology, our spiritual leanings have all been contaminated by materialism, we have no way to relate to things other than materialistically. The New Age phenomena is very much a materialistic approach. In fact, it is a thinly disguised system of conquest applied to what we perceive as the spiritual. In so many cases, our thirst for meaning, our need for fulfillment, can only manifest in terms of wanting to appropriate more stuff. In the New Age, this means appropriating the spirituality of other cultures because we are so impoverished and have squandered our own heritage and fatally polluted it with our materialistic attitude of conquest and ownership. We blithely, in our search, seek to appropriate the wisdom of ancient masters. We adopt the spirituality of other cultures as though they were ours for the taking. Our spiritual search has turned into spiritual conquest, and we have become rapists, pillagers, and looters of other cultural legacies. We are exercising our conquest psychology by stealing the cultural, spiritual heritage of other cultures because we have destroyed our own. This goes on and on. Go into the New Age bookstore and look around and consider what has just been said here when you do. We may buy a book on indigenous shamanism. We may gather the feathers, the drum, the medicine bag, the herbs, the pipe, all the required paraphernalia, and pretend to be a shaman. We may go to someone who claims to be such a person to learn from them. But after we've done all that, after we've read everything that can be read on the subject, acquired all the props, dressed ourselves in the native clothes, painted our faces, when we look in the mirror, we're still a white person pretending to be something, someone other than who we are. We're a clumsy approximation of a shaman at best. If we study an Oriental tradition, we can never become an Oriental person. We cannot undo our past and somehow recreate a cultural heritage. In short, we are who we are and need to become used to the idea that we do not have a right to steal the heritage of another culture to satisfy our unbridled greed and arrogance. You see, what is really needed is not what is offered for sale, advertised for money, and acquired through materialistic gain. What is needed is to look at our motivations, to examine our present condition, to study our history, to learn more about how we function. We can do none of this if we're involved in looking outside ourselves for answers, if we're looking for higher states of consciousness. What is a higher state of consciousness? Higher than what? We're not even aware of our present state of mind, other than that we are in pain, feel a lack, and want to feel complete. We behave as if spoiled children who want their situation fixed and taken care of right away. We've not really looked at ourselves. We've not deeply examined the nature of our feelings, the root causes of those feelings, the social structure, language, and culture that has produced our worldviews. In short, we're so busy wanting to escape that we've not taken the time to understand the true nature of our imprisonment. What sense does it make to trade one jail cell for another when the prison walls are, in reality, our own forgotten creation? The real truth is that things are not as bad as we thought. In fact, they're much worse. This is the real work of spirituality. This is the grist for the mill. The notion that we can somehow look into the mirror of ourselves and see some magical vision of purity and light is mere wishful thinking, an attempt to escape from the pain of our own collective social karma. The real truth is that there is no escape, no way out. There are temporarily highly entertaining trips we can go on in an attempt at escape, but ultimately they all wind back up at the same place. We're left feeling the fundamental dissatisfactoriness that's all pervasive. Until we are brave enough to face the truth, to recognize the dire nature of the problem, to see that we're not alone in feeling dissatisfaction, we have no hope of coming to any sort of insight and wisdom. So long as we're totally wrapped up in planning our own personal escape, we cannot see the real problem. We cannot see that there are others who are just as stuck in just as much pain as we are. There is no escape in the New Age. It is a mere product of the culture of materialism, a fantasy woven to cater to our neurotic obsession with ourselves and our personal angst. New Age is for those who have money, idle time, and nothing better to do. Check it out. How many poor people struggling to put food on their tables, living lives far more uncomfortable than our own, are in the New Age stores seeking answers to their problems? Are we not really looking to heal ourselves in all of this? We're in a peculiar dilemma. We know that something's wrong, but we're so absorbed in escaping from the pain that we do not take the time required to learn the true nature of the disease. Our materialistic psychology prevents us from seeing the big picture. We remain entranced with our individual problems, and we cannot see beyond the immediate issue to the much wider picture of how we exist in a state of interbeing with all our sisters and brothers and our fellow sentient beings. Big picture consciousness involves weaning ourselves from our petty concerns with personal development, personal enlightenment, and addressing societal healing as a collective endeavor. We need to learn to adopt a vision of history, the story of our collective past that extends far beyond the Reader's Digest version of history that we're taught in school. We need to learn more about the history of oppression, the history of materialism, the history of the thought patterns and value structures which combine to form the power over dynamic which permeates our present culture. We need to develop a critical eye, a sensitivity to how we came to where we are and how we can recognize the themes and attitudes we have carried with us as a society and how they influence us as a whole and as individuals. A comprehensive look at the history from the perspective of the common people is available in Howard Zinn's book, A People's History of the United States. This is not a history written by conquerors about conquest and the exercise of power over others. It is about our past, the past of the common people. It covers in detail the legacy of oppression which we carry as a society that has produced our current isolated culture and self-absorption-based society. It tells of the oppression, genocide, and slavery, which are the foundations of our heritage. It tells of the life of people who suffered under the yoke of tyranny for the sake of profit and control motives, which are the basis for our society, for our social and economic legacy. The study of this sort of history enables us to develop a profound understanding of who we are and how we got to be in the position we find ourselves today. It also gives us a connection with our fellow beings and brings us to the realization that we are not isolated individuals on a mission for personal salvation, but instead presents us with the vista all of us together as a community engaged in the endeavor of building an alternative circle of societal healing. It is through the big picture perspective and the adoption of a long-range, thousand-year view, what indigenous people of America call the seven generations, that we can fully develop an understanding of our true nature, our intrinsic true nature reveals us as individuals and as a community of people actively walking together on the path of a fully awakened state of mind. Thank you.